Welcome to the SBCN podcast, a production of the Small Business Community Network, brought to you by Brad Poulos, small business coach, entrepreneurship professor, and author of the Small Business Operator's Manual, a guide to running your small business profitably.
Everyone, it's Linda Ockhorn, Jenna here again with another SBCN Small Biz Podcast. As you know, we're doing a series with some of our expert members of the SBCN who are in different professions and share some wonderful tips with us. So it's my favourite accountant, I think he's an accountant, that might not be the right word, Mr. Peter Pillock. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Linda. I'm delighted to be here as always. How was your vacation? You just got back.
Oh my gosh, I wish I was still there. It was wonderful. It was quite cold in Texas and it was quite blowy, but we weren't perturbed because the sun was out. We were staying in a beautiful little resort and then we got on the cruise ship. So say no more. It's just a memory. So, Peter, you have us enthralled with some of the tips you're giving us because I hate to say this, accountants are rather boring, but you're the least boring person I've met.
Well, I appreciate that, Linda. I do my best.
And, you know, your business name is quite unusual as well for an accountant. Would you like to share it with us?
Sure. So I represent, my firm's name is Creative Minds Accounting, and the reason we chose that name is our particular niche is working with artists and musicians and creatives like software developers. We have jugglers as clients. We have a wide variety of creative people, and they have particular issues and that other small businesses don't necessarily have. Mostly around the number of sources of income that our clients have. They tend to have 4, 5, 6, 7 sources of income, so it complicates their tax situation, which leads us nicely into the topic we could talk to tonight. Yes.
That's interesting because I didn't realize that, let's say, artists, performers would have, you know, all those different levels of income. But yeah, it's coming up to tax season. Throw it at us, Peter.
Yeah. So when I'm recording this about 10 days before the end of February. So when it's posted, it might be closer to the end of February. But the first tax we have, unfortunately, have to talk about is the T4s. So a lot of small businesses have employees and they need to get their T4s in sooner than later, because that starts the entire process for taxation for your employees, et cetera. So I just want to remind everyone that get your T4s completed. Second of all, we're going to, before we get to the exciting topic of personal taxes and corporate taxes, we also have to talk about HST. Year end is a good opportunity to catch up on your HST. There's a pecking order with the CRA that puts your employee taxes at the top of the list. They get very concerned about that. You have a short leash, and then followed by HST, there's a little bit of a longer leash. And we're going to talk about income taxes as what ends up being the longest leash. So that's a roundabout way to say, before you do your personal and corporate taxes, you should get the rest of your business house in order.
How many people try and do them without all those things in order? Do many people go, oops?
A lot of small business owners do them in the wrong order. They just don't know. And the correct order is payroll taxes. They should always be current. Then HST should be current, usually up to the quarter. And then comes income tax. So there is a bit of an order. And part of that is because you need the numbers that each of those returns that you have to file provide. So once you have all those numbers, then we can get on with the filing taxes. Now, there are two types of taxes. There is for business people, there's sort of a, if you're a sole proprietor or a partner, you have one form of taxes. That is usually T4 income, but also small business income. And then there is corporate taxes, which are taxes done for a corporation. So most of the viewers are probably sole, or viewers and listeners are probably sole proprietors and have partnerships. So the first set of tips will be focused towards them. And the biggest tip is talk to someone. A lot of times people think, well, my taxes are easy. And for some people, that is true. Taxes are very easy. But there is a lot of nuances for business owners that get missed. So, for example, if you're not sure how to what mileage to claim, how much mileage you can claim, and what expenses you can claim, you can get yourself into some difficulties with the CRA. So the rules constantly change, and getting advice from your grandfather, even if he was an accountant 20 years ago, might not necessarily be the best way.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
So,
sorry, go on, Linda.
No, that's all I was going to say. That's a good point. I love it. I love the way you put it in order for us. Go tick, 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 carry on. You're the expert.
So what I was going to say is when we deal with clients with sole proprietorships and small partnerships, what we tell them is give us everything. Let us decide what you can expense and what you can't. Mm-hmm. We're not going to, even though our business name is Creative Minds Accounting, we are not very creative when it comes to following tax rules. We follow the tax rules, and that is by design, because it's far better to ignore a $20 in expense or not declare it than have the CRA come back and start digging into your entire year of receipts.
Yeah.
And I give you an example. It used to be really common, and Ian's going to hate me for this, but it used to be really common for people to write off clothes for sole proprietorship. So you'd buy a suit and you claim it as a business expense. Unfortunately, there's an unwritten rule that we have in the accounting field. We call it the real estate rule. And the real estate rule is real estate agents took advantage of the clothing allowances, and the CRA has in recent years clamped down on them. So there are certain people who can still write clothes and things off. Mm-hmm. For example, a podcast host like yourself may have some success at writing off things such as partial wardrobe and even haircuts. Mm-hmm. So there are some benefits to having a podcast, Linda. But for the most part, we no longer get to write those things off, even though in my case, I like to wear what I call my uniform, which is a nice pants and nice shirt. And even though it is technically my uniform, I can't write it off as a uniform.
A real uniform, say a chef or who wears uniforms in business, whoever wears a proper uniform have to wear it to work every day. They would be able to write that one off though, would they?
Yes. So for example, if you buy branded merchandise, if you run an IT services company and they wear a shirt that says IT service company and your name, that is a legitimate expense.
That's
provided
good.
You wear it for the most part while you're working. So
good point, Peter. So, great point. Yeah. We won't tell Ian you mentioned it.
Very good. it's rules like this that why spending an hour with an accounting and tax pro will save you money in the long run. There's no cheat codes with the tax system, but we do have ways of minimizing your income in ways that a lot of times people aren't sure how to do. So, for example, one of my favorite, and I'm going to use the word cheat code, even though I said there are no cheat codes. One of my favorite cheat codes for tax is mileage. So you can claim mileage under certain circumstances that goes directly against your income. And I believe it's 61 or 62 cents per kilometer. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that does a lot of traveling, that adds up pretty quickly.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
The other thing too is talking to a professional will give you a little bit of confidence if you are intending on filing your own return. Talking with a professional, ask them some questions. It will make it easier and more comfortable for you if you do decide you want to do your own taxes.
You also save people money. I've heard this a lot because I don't mess with this kind of stuff. I'm no good at adding up and maths. But basically, I have heard so many people complimenting their accountants, their bookkeepers, whatever, and say, they saved me some money I didn't know. So by doing it themselves, they might save a bit of money, but they might miss out on something that's beneficial that you guys find out.
Well, there's an old saying that never let a dollar be held up by a dime. And what that means is don't look at saving a dime at the expense of a dollar. And a lot of times when you hire a tax person, you may pay anywhere from, depending on the service and depending on what you need, anywhere from $90 for a return to more if you have a more complex return. Some even personal returns that are very complex can be $700 or $800 or more. But at the level, the more complex your return is, the more likely the tax person is going to be able to save you money. And more importantly, peace of mind. Yeah. So
investing in someone like you, in your company, and Lisa's, obviously, it's an investment. It's not something they should think, oh, wow, I don't want to pay that, you know. It's an investment, and you say peace of mind, it saves them money, plus they won't have the tax man knocking at the door saying, get everything out, we want to look at it.
Yeah.
Wonderful tip so far. What do most people forget, though, do you think, Peter, during this time? We're getting really close. They're doing it at the last minute. What do most people forget? I don't know.
So what most people forget is a lot of people are really good at keeping copies of paper receipts. So they'll have an envelope or a shoebox and they'll faithfully throw things in their shoebox. It's been our experience, and I'm confident it's industry-wide, people actually forget about emails that they get. So they'll buy something on Amazon for their business and they'll forget about that, or eBay, or they'll have a subscription to Apple News, for example. Subscription, you can write that off as a business expense in many circumstances.
So
a lot of people forget about things like this.
So if they're forgetting about it, how could they remind themselves? What is a good idea We've got the receipt, say, from Staples, and we've ordered something from Staples, and you know we could write it off or part of it. So how can we remind ourselves? What should we do? Should we print those things off and put them in our box? What should we do?
Yeah, ideally, if you're handing a box of receipts to your accountant or your tax preparer, all of your receipts should be in that box. So that means you may have to print off your Staples receipt for an order or Amazon. If you're handing everything to them digitally, we accept both, although we prefer digital, then take PDFs and put them in a folder that you're sharing with your accountant.
That's a good idea.
So the best method is is whichever one you feel most comfortable with. But whichever one you feel most comfortable with, you should be as close to 100% compliance as possible. So if you want to hand a shoebox, print everything off, not just what you have. If you want to do it digitally, make sure your receipts are scanned.
Good tips there. Now, what's the latest date a small business owner, maybe a sole proprietor, can do their taxes or submit their taxes?
So a business owner gets 2 weeks longer than everyone else. The government is kind and understands tax preparers are really busy, so they want to give you 2 weeks. So if I'm not mistaken, that is May 15th, give or take. So
we're not going to hold you to it.
Fair enough. But it's 2 weeks longer than the deadline, give or take a day or two. So
how do you manage to live during this time, you and Lisa? Do you manage to eat and sleep? And because it's a very busy time for you, isn't it?
It is. It's a lion's share of our business. In the case of our business, Lisa handles most of the personal and corporate tax. I provide support. So if someone needs, if she needs things added up, if a client gives you a shoebox and she needs something added up, I'll be the person to add it up. Or sometimes we need, we both meet with a client to discuss what we're seeing in their tax file. Lisa carries the lion's share of the tax workload, but we do work as in tandem. And one of the ways that we do cope is we tend, although it's not a hard and fast rule, we tend to make sure we schedule downtime in our tax weeks to to make sure that we can recharge. It does no good if our brains are broken. So we do our best to ensure our brains are functioning.
Weird question. Do you actually enjoy this kind of work?
I do.
Oh, thank God for that.
I do. It's a unique job because there's a defined busy period. And a lot of jobs have those defined busy periods. But with accounting and tax in particular, the everyone in the industry is going through the same busy period as you. So you kind of bond with fellow tax preparers over this time of year.
Oh, that is so funny. So anything you want to leave with us that, you know, is words of wisdom or something really important? You've told us some great, you know, do this in order, do it at this time. Don't argue over $20, you know, receipt and stuff like that. Anything you want to leave with us that will really get into our heads and make us think, we know that Peter told us, so we won't forget.
So, yes. So the one thing I want to leave you with is do not be afraid of the CRA. The CRA, there's countless stories in the media about the IRS.
Yeah.
And how nasty and difficult to work with they are. The CRA is not like that. They're not your friend.
No.
But they are it's very easy to work with them. So when you're filing your taxes and you're getting everything ready, even though you may not use a professional, don't panic and don't be afraid. Just do it.
That's amazing. That's really good because a lot of people are scared and think to themselves, oh, we're going to be charged all this money or we're going to go to prison if we don't pay. And really, they're just humans doing the job, you know. Yeah. So that's a really good tip to leave. Just don't be scared of them because they're not going to eat us
up. I do want to add one last thing.
Yeah.
So if you are behind a number of years, do not do that yourself. So if you happen to find yourself behind by 3 or 4 years, do not handle that yourself.
No.
It's okay. The CRA will get to you. They haven't got to you yet. Mm. But at that point, you're far better off hiring a professional.
You're
more than 2 years behind. So that's the only other thing I'll leave.
I love it. I really love it. The other thing is, and one of my clients, not one of our members, but one of my clients, business consultant, you know, I'm a business consultant, I have clients for that. And one of the guys said to me a few years ago, I forgot to do this for a couple of years and the charges were going bigger and bigger and bigger. So he phoned whoever you've got to phone and he said, well, why didn't you remind me? And I said, it's not our responsibility to remind you. It's your responsibility to be on top of it. And he was quite annoyed, but I kind of agree with him. In my sense, it's my responsibility to give you everything I need to give you and be honest that, you know, I haven't left anything out or tried to hide it. It's your responsibility to make sure you do a good job. So we can, what's the word, communicate with each other and say, oh, I forgot this piece. Or you can say, Linda, do you know where this is? But I don't think those kinds of organisations have got time to remind us of the things that we should have done 2 or 3 years ago. And then whammy, got a great big bill.
That's just what happens.
Don't do that again. Oh, it's been so lovely again, Peter, because you make it sound like fun. And I'm so glad you at least enjoy the work. Otherwise, well, you must enjoy the work. You're always happy. But I think I've told you this before. At school, I was terrible at anything, you know, to do with maths or adding up, you know. So my first year at trying to do my own business, I did simply accounting at school because I went back to school for a year and I kind of understood it, but the kids helped me with it a lot. And then Dave says, why don't you start with a bookkeeper? And then why don't you move on to this? And that was 20 odd years ago. So somebody like me should never tackle it themselves. Come to somebody like Peter and Lisa. So I'm sure people will want to contact you and know how they can contact you. Do you want to leave some information?
Sure. So the easiest way to contact me is from the SBCN website. There's you can find me there.
Thank you.
So just search Peter Pellick, you'll find me. But you can always find me on LinkedIn. And you can reach us at our website at creativeminds.tax.
That's a good name to remember as well, creativeminds.tax. Thank you so much. You are such a lovely human, and so is Lisa. We'll see you again, and you have a lovely day.
Thank you, Linda. You too.
Thank you.